Again, this is 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that have happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to move and go forward when all around us, and even within the church, there is this appearance of godliness that also denies the power of God? There are those things that would lead us astray. There is that which is just simply the whitewashed tombs. How do we go forward in the midst of this when our denomination disagrees or looks different than our own congregation, or when my life looks different than everybody else? How do I go forward? Paul gives clear teaching on how we're supposed to live. He says, first of all, pursue godliness. He says here to Timothy, who's leading this church, and also to the church itself, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions. As for you, he says in verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Continue in what you know. Continue to pursue the life of godliness. What is godliness? Simply defined, it means to be like God. And I don't claim that. I am not like God. I don't even need my wife to get up and tell you how much I am not like God. I can just testify it's true. But while being like God is impossible for a fallen person, the pursuit of godliness is still the very destiny of a Christian. You were predestined to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So being like Christ, to be godly, is the goal of your life. That is where you are headed. And the Holy Spirit is working within you. So what does it mean to be like Christ, to be godly? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To be Godward in your attitude. That is, to be directed toward God with all of your life, your heart, your mind, and your strength. To think of His ways and be guided by His word. To look at the world the way that God looks at the world. To be godly in the way you move toward God in your personal life. But it also means to be pleasing to God. To live a life in obedience to the truth. You cannot say, well, my mind and my heart are directed toward God, but I'm going to live a way that denies the reality of God. If you want to be godly, you live in a godly manner. Titus 1 says, we have been given the knowledge of the truth, which accords, or which leads to godliness. The truth leads to godly living. Paul says, follow this godliness. follow the example given to be godly. Paul lived his life in such a way that he demonstrated godliness in his life and offered his conduct, his aim, his purpose, his patience, his love, his steadfastness. That means he didn't waver from his goal. And even the persecutions that he faced, he laid all of that out and said, "This is how I have followed God. This is how I have been like Christ. Follow this." He lived his life as an example. Paul offers to Timothy his own life. If you want to live a godly life, watch me. I have a difficult time saying that as a pastor. Oftentimes I feel like saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." Because I know I still stumble and fall. But perhaps even that is an example to show, because in the midst of stumbling, I fall into grace and I keep coming back to the Lord. And that is a demonstration of godliness. You know how terrifying it is as a pastor to be set before a congregation as an example for the congregation to follow. But that's how we are. Not just as a pastor in a congregation. That's how we ought to be as brothers and sisters in Christ in a congregation. Notice that Paul also says there were other examples that you had. At the very beginning of 2 Timothy, Paul is thanking God for Timothy and for the faith, the genuine, the sincere faith that Paul has found in Timothy. And he says, "It is this faith that was first seen in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and which now presides in you." It wasn't just the pastors that were there as testimonies. It was family. It was the church. Maybe this should make you tremble a bit when you walk out of the church today. Other Christians, the world itself, is looking to you to see what it means to be godly. We are an example for one another. We are a witness to godliness. By watching the lives of those around us, we pursue godliness and we give an example to the next generation. So how do we live in the face of all of this stuff that's going on, denominationally, congregationally, personally? Pursue godliness. Pursue godliness and follow the example of those who have gone before and be faithful in the midst of persecution. Paul says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's no equivocation here. If you are following the way of Christ, you will face persecution in this world today. Jesus even said in John 15:20, "Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." In his call to the disciples, he said, "Anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow." We will face persecution. Because, friends, I tell you, the world wants you to be nice, but the world does not want you to be biblical. As you grow in godliness and turn from worldliness, as you reject the things of this world that promote promiscuity or idolatry or all of the pleasures of the flesh, as you deny those things in order to pursue the gifts of God, the world will see that you are rejecting their way of things, and they will reject you. You'll be asked, "Well, how can you be so close-minded, so puritanical, so judgmental?" We're getting to the point even today where the only thing not tolerated will be those who are called to holiness and godliness. Paul even said, "And they'll go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." I hear the question, how can they do this? How can the church change their position on things that we've held for 2,000 years? How can they come to this decision based on God's word? That's not the question before us this morning. The question to ask is, how do we be faithful? Because we must recognize that it will go this way, and it will continue to go this way, and we will continue to face persecution for standing and abiding in God's word. So be faithful. And ultimately be grounded in God's word. We are called to godliness, we are called to face persecution faithfully, and we are called to be grounded in the word of God. He says here, stay in what you have learned, continue in what you have learned, know where you've learned it, and trust in those scriptures, because all scriptures breathed out by God and is profitable to you. The scriptures are the very word of God, and there is no other authority, no other rule of faith or life than that which is revealed right here. All scriptures breathed out, and it is profitable to you. If you want to live a life of godliness, if you want to be able to be faithful in the midst of persecution, this is where you find the great benefit of scripture, because it is profitable to you. How? Paul tells us here, it teaches us. It's profitable for teaching. Everything that you need to know about God and how to live a godly life and how to be one with Him and find eternal life in Christ, it's right here. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it teaches us everything we need to know. It also rebukes us or reproofs us. Scripture holds up a mirror to our lives and shows us where we have fallen and where we need to change. And it shows us the judgment of God upon our lives, but it also shows us correction. It is useful for teaching, reproof, and correction. It's not enough to show me where I'm wrong. It has to show me what is right. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, know my heart, try my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way within me. But it doesn't end there. The psalmist then goes on and says, and lead me in the way everlasting. Correct me. Show me the way to go. Scripture is also profitable because it trains us in righteousness. It disciplines us. It gives us a regimen as an athlete or as a student. It tells us what to do, when to do it, how to live our lives so that we can be right before God. And ultimately, it makes us complete and equipped for every good work. The goal is not that you would be a perfect little Christian where everything is always happy and hunky-dory and you never have to worry about anything. The goal is that you would live a life that is so transformed by the grace of God that you would be beneficial to those around you as you benefit from God's word. That you would be complete and equipped to do good works. As I leave and prepare to leave, it is not easy to go, but it is comforting to know that I can trust that the grace that God has shown in this congregation and in my life over the last 9 years is a grace that will continue to sustain and to guide and to guard you as a church. I don't offer myself as the perfect example of how to live a life of godliness. I'll guarantee I'm a life that is broken. And yet a life that follows Christ. But as I go, and the reason I wanted to come here to 2 Timothy is because this is the same thing Paul is saying to this young pastor and to this church. As I go, continue in what you have learned. I thought a lot about it this week. I don't think I really ever told a whole lot of stories about my life as sermon illustrations. I'm not a sermon illustration kind of guy. If I'm going to tell you a story, it's going to be a story from Scripture so that you can keep coming back to God's Word and finding the illustrations there. But over time, we have learned to walk with the Lord together. In the midst of all of these things that are going on, continue in what you have learned. Pursue a genuine, authentic Christian life evidenced by godliness. faithfully facing the persecution that will come, and always abiding in God's word. Amen.